series that I'm doing here, because definitely it will not be one-sided. It will be both-sided, or I'm going to get broadsided by God. I don't believe that a woman makes the decision to start a family and to lead that family and to guide that family and to direct that family. I don't believe that. I see Adam first created and then Eve. I see Adam leaving and directing Eve until he looked at her and listened to her foolish direction and ate of the fruit. I believe that truly when a man is a man, that and he is not feminized, that he does not listen to the woman in terms of her leading and guiding in the direction, telling the man that he should marry her. Lucy surely didn't do that to me. I got to go back. I got to go back and I got to share this with you, because I have to share the way it happened. Now, I'll tell you another thing. One guy told me, because I asked him, I said, why did you marry that woman in the first place? And said, this thing looked like a disaster from day one. And he said, because she asked me to. I said, what? Then there was another man that I spoke to, and another feminized man told him to marry the shipwreck, hurricane, insane asylum woman that he married. And this man today is driving trucks all over the country just trying to get his mind back. And I think he's done a pretty good job to get his mind back after marrying the and let me tell you, I won't give his name. He knows who he is when he listens to this. But I told him not to marry her. I said, you don't know what you're doing. I said, you're listening to a feminized man who told you to do that, who has no control over his wife. And guys, let me tell you something. The worst thing that you could do is to listen to a guy that cannot hold his marriage relationship down. This particular gentleman I'm speaking about, call himself a Christian, his wife would cuss him out in front of me and his children. I just shook my head on the way home in my car. I said, I cannot believe this. And also this man told me, oh, well, you don't expect a black woman to follow the Bible. They're incapable of being obedient. No, because he married a level 3 hurricane. I would have handled it. I never would have gone to bed with it or walked down the aisle in holy matrimony. Guys, listen to me. Leave them alone. See, God has created in each of us a drive to be human. And in that drive to be human, that drive is to mate up with the opposite sex. You know, we just want to link up like that. It's what God places in us. And for those of you Christian men that is asking God to take that nature away from you, I thought you was crazy. Now I know you nuts. He ain't never taken that from you. You need to get control over that. So stop asking God to take that away from you, because he's not. And those of you that have been molested by somebody in your family, like I was when I was 11 and 12 years old, and treated poorly by the ones that you married with, or the ones that you were sleeping with or shacking up with, get over it. All right. You want some counseling? Get over it. Fall on your face in front of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll give you a clean mind, and he'll take the guilt of stain away and own you as his child. But listen, you notice I didn't say go to therapy and spend thousands of dollars and, you know, go to therapy and try to find out who touched you when you was 3 years old and that's why you messed up. Stop looking at Oprah and these nitwits and nincompoops on the television. Well, it's no wonder we going nuts. Pick up your Bible and stop buying all these books. Most of you got all these books in your library, in your Christian library, and you don't even know how to go through the Bible. Now, guys, you have to understand that the woman that you pick may say yes or no. No parent, no relative, no person is to force her to say yes or no. You know, all this, you know, she's like the walls of Jericho and the walls of her heart are built up and you guys got to march around her heart and so the walls of her heart would fall and so that she'll be, no, it's nothing like that. It is written, and they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah. And she said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. That's in Genesis chapter 24, verses 57 and 58. See, she said, yes, I want to be with him. That's the way this saying gets started. She looks at him. All right, you know what? Love is a strange thing because I got, you know, some women that want to marry fat men. They look at fat men. Ooh, I just love him. Some women just love chubby, chubby, chubby guys. Okay, so you guys that are chubby out there, got a little chubby on you, that's all right. They love you. If you 100% man, they're going to love you anyhow. Then you got some women out there, they want their men to look like The Rock. Man, want him to have a six-pack cut. Man, listen, I wasn't a chubby guy when I got married. I don't know what Lucy saw in me. I was this. I didn't have a lot of fat on me, but I didn't have a lot of muscle on me either. I was just a regular dude, I guess. Never viewed myself being a very handsome 23-year-old when I got married. That's how old I was when I got married. I got married at 23. And I'll be putting up some pictures of me and Lucy. So as we go through this series, we'll be reminiscing through this whole thing. Maybe we'll just have a whole page set up, call it the marriage page. As a matter of fact, those of you listening to this, why don't you send me a picture of you and your spouse, especially if you dedicated to God. And then as I put these series up, you can look at some pictures of some married couples, right? Wouldn't that be nice? That's wonderful. It is also written, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. We've already gone over 1 Corinthians 7:39. And again, we see that she has the God-given authority to say yes or no. However, the man she would say yes to absolutely is to be in the Lord. And some of these women, some of you women listening to me, have married a man and you thought that you could change him after you married him, only to find out that that was a disastrous decision. You can't change anybody. I have coming up here, as a matter of fact, tomorrow in real time, I have to do some marriage counseling. And the marriage counseling that I have to do is because the thing has all turned sour. It was that the person thought that everything was going to be nice between them, but now fisticuffs, dishes are flying, everything else. Now I got to sit down and I have to talk to the man who claims to be a Christian. I have to sit down and talk with him and goes to a different church altogether. Going to a completely different church. And I have to speak with him about why it's important for him not to put his hands on his wife in a negative way. Be careful, ladies, who you marry. Because at times when you marry people like that, if these people have not been converted, you got that, and now you mixed up legally into it with them. And don't try to look at another man that would never hit you because this man will kill you. I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, I'm very prayerful before I even do the counseling. Lest I get killed. He may think I'm after his woman. And please, God knows I'm not after that. Be very careful, you young pastors out there. You know, I'm thinking about a young pastor now. Left Los Angeles, went to take a 7,000-member church. What that boy, he's not even 30 years old. That boy don't know nothing about people and what he's getting involved in. Going to take a pastor, talking about the Lord. The Lord didn't lead you to do that. Money and fame and popularity and prestige and moving your name ahead. Man, I'm telling you, let me keep on going with this. This is going to be a wonderful study. A wonderful study. So we see the God-given authority to say no. However, the man she would say yes to absolutely must be in the Lord. No saved parent should ever even consider encouraging their born-again son or daughter to marry any person that is not a fruit-bearing, born-again Christian. Now, they may appear to be boring to you because, and I must say, some Christians are boring. I said it before. It is a shame to marry someone that is going to be boring. Lucy was an exciting person. And I know she married an exciting person. I just didn't do too much things outside of the church. I do more now outside of the church than I did before because I'm widowed. And it's like I'm single all over again, and I'm enjoying the single life. See, I can speak, man, this is going to be a great series. I can tell that right now. I can speak simply because I've been there and done that. I can speak from what I call personal experience being a married man. I'm speaking from experience. I'm not speaking from book learning. I was married 34 years. So you want to listen to somebody that's been married, somebody whose wife didn't want to kiss him for a good spell, someone whose wife got ill and he didn't go outside of the marriage relationship. You need to listen to a man like me. You don't need to listen to these guys. Man, I swear. I hear some of these pastors tell some of these people, well, you know, if they don't give you what you need to, because you're a man and she needs to understand, you're going to go on out and get what you need to get. Well, you know what? That fool is on his way to hell. You know, just don't even worry about that. That's a given. In the same way, when Jesus invites us to become his wife, we may say, yes or no. And I dare you to say no if he's called you. Okay. Now this author says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a supper and bade many and sent his servant and that servant. And when the supper time came, they said to him that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. See, the first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray that I may be excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. And another said that, well, he said, can I be excused? And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. See, Jesus wanted to marry these people. And the Lord said, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You can read that in Luke 14, verses 16 through 20, and verses 23 and 24. And of course, we also see in Matthew chapter 22, verses 2 and 3, that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And sent forth his servants to call them. They were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. So, you see, in that sense, the author of this particular writ is absolutely correct. You can say no. And I believe that that is what is happening in many of our marriages today, that the married couple, either the man or the wife, or both, are saying no. Now, back in the day, if dowry was to be paid for the woman, it was one time only and paid in full. Now, we don't have dowries today because we understand that once that dowry is paid, there can be no further obligation of any kind. No continuing dowry or sacrifice is allowed. But I'm telling you, the dowries that come on the table today by people who find themselves involved in these strange relationships. Strange. Wow. No intimate relationship is permitted until they are married in the eyes of God. Let's address that. Because if there's any intimacy, sexual intimacy, before the marriage takes place, that is called fornication. And fornication, and we Christians believe, is sin. I don't think I have to talk on, or do I? Well, you know what? Years ago, I used to teach in marriage counseling. I said, yeah, I think that you need to pet with the person. I said, I wouldn't marry anybody that wouldn't kiss me right, because I'm a kisser. I just like kissing. And I would go by and visit Lucy and I'd say, come here, let me kiss you. And she kissed pretty good. I like it. Made me feel goosebumps and everything. Ooh, I liked that. But one of the things that we said, nope, there will be no fornication. No fornication at all. See, this is God's way. I like the Old Testament written Genesis chapter 29, verses 20 and 21. It says, and Jacob saved 7 years for Rachel. Look at this. 7 years this man saved so that he could have her. That's, you know, he's getting that dowry together so he can buy her a house, so he can provide for her. See, you don't see Rachel saving for Jacob. And see, we see this reversal in society today. I hear a lot of young men, to, oh, yeah, man, let the woman take care of you. What? I don't need no woman to take care of me. If I get married, I'm supposed to take care of the woman. She can't take care of me. She's not to try to take care of me. That's not the way that works. And they seemed unto him. And they seemed unto him but a few days. In other words, the 7 years that Jacob worked to put his dowry together for Rachel just seemed like a few days for the love that he had for her. And Jacob said to Laban, that's Rachel's daddy, give me my wife. Isn't that a wonderful thing? For my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. Now, this is Genesis chapter 29, verses 20 and 21. This is the model that we have for marriage. That's why when you come to this website and you see the pictures of the fruit of the union, you see them beautiful little babies. Now, I know, in the American culture, we just trash that Bible. We go into her because she's so fine. Come here, girl, let me slam you down. Let me let you, you know what? And there will be a time when we get into the sexual intercourse, the act itself of sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. And I got to talk with you like a pastor should talk with his children, because unfortunately some of us don't have parents. And I'm telling you, if your parents never set you boys down, you men down, and talk with you like they love you, you know, you sit down and tell your son, look, don't hurt that girl. You don't want to hurt that girl. You're not playing football out there, pouncing on people like that, trying to get the, you know, the first down. And then if I was a mother of some of these rambunctious, rowdy women who thinks that their obligation is to beat the poor man down.